You're listening to Breaking Our Silence with host Lupe Moreno on the CWR Network.
Hello, and welcome to Breaking Our Silence. I am your host, Lupe Moreno. Breaking Our Silence is a show that discusses domestic violence in hopes of educating others will help prevent someone from becoming a victim and hopefully save someone's life. In today's episode, we will be discussing when physical abuse goes too far. My very special guest is Leslie Browning, who will be sharing with us the story of her daughter, Alicia, who was tragically taken from us by her abuser on December 27, 2016. If during this episode you experience a trigger and would like to speak with someone, you can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-SAFE. I chose to do this topic today because it is near Christmas, as well as the first anniversary of Alicia's death. A CBS News article by Julia Dahl dated November 22, 2012, states that according to the National Domestic Violence Hotline, calls to the hotline actually drop dramatically on major holidays, but they see an increase in requests for service right after the holidays. This is because victims tend to stay quiet during the holidays in order to try keeping the peace. A HuffPost article updated on December 6, 2017, lists 30 shocking domestic violence statistics that remind us it's an epidemic. I'll share just three of those 30. Number one, the number of American troops killed in Afghanistan and Iraq between 2001 and 2012 was 6,488. The number of American women who were murdered by current or ex-male partners during that time was 11,766. That's nearly double the amount of casualties lost during war. Number two, three women are murdered every day by a current or former male partner in the United States. Three, 18,000 women have been killed by men in domestic violence disputes since 2003. Another statistic is a woman is 70 times more likely to be murdered in the few weeks after leaving her abusive partner than at any other time in the relationship. At this time, I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, my guest Leslie Browning will be joining us.
I'm jumping in with my clothes on.
Most party fouls are pretty dumb, but if you decide to drink and drive underage, you could lose your license and your freedom. Learn more at ultimatepartyfoul.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Listen and imagine. It takes 5 seconds to send a text, and for those 5 seconds, you're driving blind.
Life is worth more than a text.
Stay alive. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
People been saying to your friend, get a different face, and posting on their feed, they're super ugly.
Someone being bullied online, you can be a witness and make a difference by letting the world know it isn't cool and by letting your friend know you care. Learn more at eyewitnessbullying.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
It's Thursday night and you're grabbing drinks with some friends. Started off with a pitcher for the table, which quickly becomes two. There's pool. And there's the photo booth.
All right, everybody squeeze in. Say cheese!
Followed naturally by an order of wings. And another.
Can we get some extra ranch sauce?
Then there's the ceremonial nightcap.
So what are we doing this weekend?
And lastly, it's back to the car, which, if you're buzzed... could be the most expensive night of your life. Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Breaking Our Silence with your host, Lupe Marino, on the CWR Network.
Welcome back. At this time, I'd like to welcome my guest, Ms. Leslie Browning, to our show. Hello, Leslie, and thank you for joining us tonight.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
So, thank you for joining us. I know it's close to the anniversary of your daughter leaving us, and so I would like to, want to ask you if you could share her story with us. I know you are her voice, and I'm so honored to have you sharing her story with us.
Well, I'm honored to be here, and thank you for allowing me to be Alicia's voice this evening. How far would you like for me to go back?
However far back, as far as you feel comfortable. Maybe like the beginning of how it started and how you found out that abuse was going on, if you knew it was going on before her death.
Yes, I did know. A little over 11 years ago, she was married to her murderer, and I would pop into her house every once in a while. I was an outside salesperson, so it gave me the freedom to go and check on her from time to time. And a couple of weeks before Christmas, I popped in at her house, and she had just had her first baby was born, and he was probably 8 or 9 months old. And I noticed she had a knot on her forehead, and her husband would not come out of the back bedroom. And I told her, if you ever want out, I'll help you. I'm here for you. And I invited her to go to a lunch with me, and we went to the Rainforest Cafe at Grapevine Mills Mall. And I told her, I reinforced that, and I told her I didn't have a good feeling. And when her baby was born, I'm going to go back just a little bit. When her baby was born, I gave her a cell phone because I had no way of communicating with her. He never would let her use a phone. So I bought her a cell phone, and I told him not to touch her phone because it was my way of knowing she and the baby were okay. And shortly after Christmas, she showed up at her dad's house because she was tired of being abused. And he put her in the truck and brought her to my house, and I helped her. I got her, as soon as she got to the house, I changed her cell phone number, and he had no way of contacting her. The only way he could contact her was he had my cell phone number, and I wouldn't let him have any contact with her. I got her an apartment, helped her get a job, helped her start getting on her feet, and she was doing really well. And this was back in the day of MySpace, and he had one of his nieces contact her through MySpace and started luring her back in. And about 4 months into me getting her out, they lured her back in by telling her she was going to go to hell if she didn't keep her family together. And she tried multiple times getting out. And this last time, last year, she was trying to escape her abuser, and he brutally beat her from head to toe and then shot her in the face.
So how did you find out about that she had passed away?
I'll never forget that night for the rest of my life. I was asleep in bed, and it was about 10 o'clock at night, and I was working for Hilton Hotels at the time, and my husband came downstairs, and I sensed the urgency in his voice, and he told me that there had been an accident and that I needed to get out of my pajamas and get in my day clothes because we had to go to the hospital. And he knew that she had been murdered, but I didn't. And I ran to the closet and started trying to find something to wear and my clothes on, and then kept asking him, who is it? Who was in the accident? Who is it? Because I have three daughters. Mm-hmm. And I had gone to the dresser to get a shirt out of the dresser and so we could get in the car and go. And he said it was Alicia. And when he said it was Alicia, I knew he had murdered her because I knew how he was with her. And I tried to keep a relationship going with her husband because I felt like in that sense I was sort of protecting her by keeping a close mm-hmm. relationship with him. And he didn't tell me at that time that she was dead. I got on the phone with my oldest daughter because I couldn't get any answers out of my husband. He knew that I couldn't have taken it. And I got on the phone with my daughter, and she answered the phone, and she didn't say hello. She said that she's dead. And I fell to the floor, and I can still feel the cold tile up against my face as I fell and just screamed. I couldn't believe that it was happening, that it had actually happened. That morning of her murder, I was in the shower getting ready for work, and the strangest thing came over me. I was in the shower, and I prayed, and I said, Lord, please, please let my children outlive me. And that evening, Alicia was murdered.
Wow. I'm so sorry. So how many children did she leave behind? Three?
She left behind three children. And
how old were they at the time?
10, 8, and 6.
And where are they now, and how are they doing through all of this?
Well, they're still with the murderer's parents. I've been fighting to get them, but they are in a small town, and because I don't live out there, they have been very prejudiced against me and my husband. We're both pretty well educated and are human people that are law-abiding citizens, and somehow they are able to get around the law. And they have a son that is very well off, that has been paying for all of their legal fees. And we ran out of money fighting for our grandchildren, so we still don't have them yet.
Mm. So and, is their father, is he incarcerated, or is he still out? Or
he's incarcerated, awaiting trial. The murder trial starts in February. And he's being convicted of first-degree felony murder.
When was the last time you were able to see her children? Do you have contact with
Easter.
Them?
Well, I've been able to talk to them here and there. I had them on Easter Sunday. That was the last time I actually saw them. And the grandfather is quite a bit like the father of the kids, and he played a really cruel joke on my grandkids this last Halloween. I had been asking to see my grandkids because at our church we were having a trunk or treat, and I had asked him for like a month if I could take my grandchildren and take them to this trunk or treat. And he said yes, that I could have them. And he sent a screenshot of me explaining the details of an accident that his wife had had while she was under the influence of narcotics, and it nearly killed my three grandchildren. They were all three care flighted to a hospital, children's hospital in Dallas, one sustaining broken bones in her neck, a concussion, and two brain bleeds. The other one had a broken femur and two brain bleeds and a concussion. And then the oldest one had, thank goodness, just a concussion. And they did drug testing on her, and she was on very high illegal limits of three different narcotics or drugs. I'm not sure what the terminology is of it. But I posted that in the Break the Silence website, and he copied it and pasted it to me and told me that I have anger issues and I can't see my grandkids until I seek counseling, which is kind of strange because I've been a counselor for many years. I've worked with youth and kids at risk and things like that. And it was the morning that we were supposed to go get our children.
So what are your happiest memories that you have of Alicia?
Oh, anytime she was with me. My Lucy, yes, anytime she was with me. I mean, she and I were so very close. We could complete each other's sentences, and she was, she crawled up into my lap and hugged me a month before her murder. She was just right there by me. Anytime she was around me, she had her arms wrapped around me, and she told me always how much she loved me and how thankful she was that I was her mom. And she also told my husband and myself a month before she had passed away that my husband is her stepdad, but she also told him that he was like a real dad to her because she had never been treated that well by anybody before. So we had a very close and intimate relationship.
I've seen the pictures of you together, and she just looks so happy. Just such a beautiful girl.
She was always safe in my home. I was her safe place, and I've always been her children's safe place.
I'm sorry, I forget. How old was she at the time that she passed away?
Alicia was 29 years old. And her birthday is April the 24th.
So how long had it been then since when you first found out that the abuse was going on until last year?
11 years.
11 years. Do you remember how many times she left him before she went back?
She had tried to leave him a number of times. I found out through the custody hearings that for at least a minimum of 2 years, he was sex trafficking my daughter, and his parents knew about it. I have the police recordings of his mother talking about it and how they hid it from us. And he'd broken her arm, wouldn't allow her to go to the hospital in 2015 for at least a week, and her arm was broken so badly, he had to have a plate put in her arm with screws in it.
So how did you begin to start speaking about her story and sharing it?
Well, I originally started talking about it with Kristen Peruganog reached out to me from Break the Silence Against Domestic Violence, and one of the news stations in Colorado Springs, Colorado, had interviewed me. And then another, Brandon, at another television station, I can't recall the name, but he had interviewed me that weekend also. That was the week of July the 22nd of this year.
That's awesome. So, so Break the Silence was pretty much like the first, or one of the first ways to help get Alicia's story out there. Yeah,
yes,
they're just an amazing organization.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. Looking back now, just remembering everything, that the signs that you were, that you saw, and things that you were aware of by Alicia's story, what advice could you give to someone who is going through the abuse right now?
Don't let anybody know if you're planning on getting out. Keep it a secret. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Keep it a secret and don't let anyone know if you're planning on getting out. Even if you have to order a pizza and not pick it up, just tell them you're going out and ordering a pizza, and have a plan in place that nobody else knows about but the person that's going to help you. And that's when it gets the most dangerous, is when you're trying to escape. She was trying to escape her abuser, and that's why she was murdered.
Yeah, that's like the statistic I gave before going to commercial. It says that a woman is 70 times more likely to be murdered in the few weeks after leaving her abusive partner than at any other time in the relationship. I think that's a lot of time because the abuser senses that they're starting to lose control, and they don't want to lose that control. And
exactly.
I know when I left my abuser, I'd say approximately 4 times before I finally left the last time. And it is hard, because once you leave and they know that they're losing you, they try and they do everything they can to get you back. And they'll try it nicely first to try to sweet talk you to get you back. And if that doesn't work, that's when it can lead to, you know, deadly actions. And I'm so grateful that that's not the way it ended in my case. And I'm sorry that it did end in Alicia's and so many others out there. So, Leslie, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing us a little bit about Alicia's story. And I wish you much luck in sharing her story with other people and speaking out, because you are her voice. And she is so blessed to have you as her mom, to be out there doing everything for her.
Well, thank you.
Thank you
and
so much.
I'd like to commend you and tell you how thankful I am that you were able to get out safely.
Thank you. Thank you so much. So I'd like to remind our listeners tonight, if you were triggered by anything, or if you or someone you know would like to speak to somebody regarding domestic violence, you can contact the National Domestic Violence Hotline at 1-800-799-7233. That's 1-800-799-7233. Beginning in 2018, Breaking Our Silence will be moving to a later time. You can join us on the first and third Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central Time, and 9 p.m. Eastern Time Zone. Join us on January 4th, when my guest will be Santina Proctor, an advocate and motivational speaker who lost her mother due to domestic violence. Until then, this is your host, Lupe Moreno, wishing you all a Merry Christmas and a safe and happy New Year.
This is the CWR Network, #1 million strong.